Okay, welcome. It's really good to see you. People that have been coming for a long time. I know there's some people that are here for the first time. So really good and warm welcome to you all. My name's Chris, as Alex said. I'm one of the elders in the church. And as Kate, who was leading us in worship, was saying, we've been exploring the Gospel of John. We're going through the book of John. And we're in chapter 6. So if you've got a Bible, then it'd be good to turn to John chapter 6. There's some Bibles on the table at the back if you haven't got one and you'd like to follow through. We're going to be looking at John chapter 6 and starting at verse 60 today. So starting at verse 60 and through to the end of the chapter. So we're in John chapter 6, starting at verse 60. Through to the end of the chapter, and I'm just going to start by reading that. So the background to this is that, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks, Jesus has been teaching about him being the bread of life, and saying that people have to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to get eternal life, and. We see that as he was going through this, that many of the Jews were starting to grumble and trying to understand what is all this about. So here we are at verse 60, and it says this. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me, to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Just want to start just by telling you a brief sort of story. It's not a perfect illustration, but it's just a little story. A few years ago, my family, I've got four children, lovely wife, four children, and we went on holiday to Scotland, and we had this beautiful little cottage. It was miles from anywhere, but you could look out of the window, and there was this really big, well, it seemed like really big to me, really big hill. Just down the road from where we were, you could see this hill. And one day, it was a beautiful sunny day, which is not that usual in Scotland. Sorry, you Scottish people. But it was a beautiful sunny day. And we said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go out and we're going to climb that hill." And it was quite a steep hill. So we went down the road and we got to there was this footpath that pointed the direction up towards the hill, and off we set. Now, many of you will know me that I'm on crutches, permanently on crutches, and we started up off this hill, and I thought, "I'm going to do this, right? I'm going to do this." And the kids were there with the dog, and anyway, they all went on, and I got, quite a way up, and I thought, "I'm really exhausted now. I've had enough." But there was something about me that those of you that do know me will also know that I'm a little bit determined and a little bit stubborn. I can see someone laughing at me. It's true, isn't it? Yeah, a bit stubborn. So I am going to do this. So kept on going up this hill, really tough. And after a while, children realised that I wasn't as fast as them, and they came back to try and encourage me and support me, and it was great. And we kept on going, and I was absolutely exhausted, and that was about three quarters of the way up. And we kept on going, and we kept on going, and eventually got to the very top of this hill. It took ages. But I was exhausted, absolutely sweating buckets and terrible. But got to the top of this hill, and there was a fantastic view. Right out across, you could see across the sea, you could see Ireland. It was really clear, it was really beautiful. And I felt so exhilarated. It was well worth all the effort and all the determination to get up there. It was a real sense of achievement. And actually, it's left a lasting memory for me and a lasting memory for the family as well. You know, the day we got up that Dad got up that hill, which was sort of almost impossible. Coming down was another story, I have to tell you. I kind of bumped down on my bum for quite a lot of it because I was so tired, I didn't have any energy left. But fortunately, coming down is a little bit easier than coming up because you can roll if all else fails. But there you are. It was a really tough thing to do, but it was well worth it. And in just, no illustration is perfect, but just to bring it back, what Jesus was saying to his disciples here was something that was really tough for them to deal with. In the Message Bible, the new sort of English translation, Americanized translation, it says, you know, Jesus says to them, "Is this too tough for you to swallow, what I've said?" And there's a couple of responses you can make to really tough teaching, really difficult things. And one, as we will see in the passage here, is that some people give up and say, "Well, I can't deal with all that. I'm going to leave." And others is to be like Peter, who said, "There is no one else. I believe in you, Lord. I'm going to see it through." And I guess the thought that I want to leave you with is, it's really worth wrestling with it, dealing with it, fighting with it, being determined to get through it, because there's something fantastic at the end. So, the disciples come to Jesus. It's not just talking about his 12, but many of those that were following him. And they say to him, "Look, this is really hard teaching. How can we accept it?" What was it? It was almost offensive to them. What was it that they found so difficult? What was it that they found offensive? Well, if you remember some of the teaching that we've been going through over the last few weeks, there's a number of things. Now, right back at the time when Jesus fed the 5,000, and after that, the crowd went looking for him. And back in John 6 verse 26, he says to them, "Look, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures." In other words, he's saying to them, "Look, you know what you're after is just something to fill your stomachs. That's what's important to you. But actually, I'm trying to teach you something more, something spiritual here." So he was really challenging them, saying, "Don't just look for your stomachs." And then in John 6, verses 41 to 42, he actually claims that he came down from heaven. Unfortunately, the page of my Bible, which that says that on, has just dropped on the floor. And we've kindly picked it up. Thank you very much. So in John 6, yeah, it says this: "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven?'" Jesus is claiming to be God. He's claiming that he's come down from heaven. And the Jews are going, "How can that be? This guy, we know him. He just comes from Nazareth. How can he come down from heaven? It's difficult for them. And then he goes on, and you remember as Alex was speaking a couple of weeks ago, he talked about how the passages that we were looking at could be interpreted through the glasses of Moses. It was Passover time, so they were remembering the time when the blood of the lamb was put on the doorposts, and those that were in them, in those doors, the Israelites, the Jews were there. The angel of death passed over them. And so Jesus is starting to talk about him being like Moses here. And he says he's been sent by God, and he's uniquely authorized to give life. He talks about Moses, how Moses, through God, brought the manna from heaven to feed them. But he was going to give them food that lasted forever, gave them eternal life. So he was saying he's greater than Moses. And Moses was their great prophet. And they found that hard. But really most shocking probably of all was the words of Jesus we talked about last week, when Jesus said, talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What a shocking thing that was. In the law of Moses, it was forbidden to actually drink the blood or even eat meat with blood still in it. And here was Jesus talking to his disciples, and the crowds were there saying that you need to feed on me. In other words, believe in me. You need to eat the bread that I give you, the bread that saves, the bread that sustains, the bread that satisfies. And you need to drink my blood because it brings life. And they found this really shocking, because it's talking about something that was like abhorrent to them. But not only that, it begins to speak of like Jesus' death on the cross and his sacrifice that he's made. And they can't handle it. They can't handle the idea, the whole idea of Jesus coming down from heaven and being God amongst them, but also the fact that he's asking them to follow someone that's going to die. It's shocking teaching to them. And they say, this is hard. Who can get this? Not hard necessarily in terms of like it's too difficult, but like really harsh. Really harsh. And sometimes when we start sharing our faith with other people, they don't get it, do they? They find it really hard. Why does Jesus have to die? What's that all about? How can a God of love allow his son to be crucified on a cross? Why? Why? It's a really hard thing for some people to get. And Jesus heard that they were all starting to grumble. Okay, verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling. So what was Jesus' response to this? Was he surprised? No. Did he compromise? Did he change his message? Did he say, well, actually, I know that's really tough. Let's make it all a bit more love and peace. And no, he didn't. In fact, he grasps it and goes even deeper in 61. He says, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? In other words, what if he's lifted up and goes back to heaven? Again, re-emphasizing the point that he is actually God. The Father and the Son are one. And then he goes on to say, the flesh counts for nothing. In other words, in all that you do, in your religious activity, that doesn't matter. He's being even more provocatively shocking to them, actually. He wasn't blown off course by the fact that people didn't respond positively to everything that he said. He wasn't fazed by the fact that a load of his followers, disciples, then decided to leave. And I think there's a lesson in that for us somewhere. You know, Jesus wants us to share our faith. We've got something really precious. as he says, as it says here, he has the words of eternal life, the joy, the hope, the future that we've got, real life. But actually, it's our responsibility, he wants to encourage us, it's our responsibility to share that faith, share that life, but it's not our responsibility to make people believe. Like the illustration of kind of the gardener who digs the ground and plants the seed. But he can't actually make the plants grow, can he? There's something miraculous about the plants growing. You can do a lot of the preparation, get it all right, sow in the right season. But you can't yourself make those plants grow. Because Jesus says here, this is why I told you, verse 66, that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. So it's our responsibility to share and encourage and pray for, but it's not our responsibility to make people believe. And that's somehow fantastically releasing. And you might have people that you really desperately want to come into the kingdom, and I do. And I'll pray for them, and I'll encourage them, and I'll share the word. But actually, it's about their response, and it's about God enabling them to come. One of the things that have been really special to us as a church over the last year was some verses from the Book of Kings. And it talks about there was a drought, and the army had marched through this desert place, and they hadn't got any water to drink. They had nothing to drink. And they called for the prophet to come. The prophet Elijah came, and he said to them, "What I want you to do is," he had a word from God. He said, "What I want you to do is to dig these ditches." And they looked out, and there was no water. There was no sign of rain. There was nothing there. But they dug these ditches, and then it says, the scriptures say, the next day they were filled with water. They had to do some work. They had to do the digging of the ditches, get things ready. But only God can do what only God can do. Only God can bring the rain to fill those ditches. So we have to be prepared to work and share. But there's only certain things that God can do, and we need to trust him to do it. And Jesus wasn't put off course by people turning away from his word. So Jesus also says that the thing that's really positive here is that Jesus says, verse 63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. And that's really important. Jesus has the words of life. You know, he's building on some of his teaching before. Those of you that have been with us for a while, we went through what Jesus said to Nicodemus when he said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says to him, "I don't understand. What do you mean, you must be born again?" And Jesus says, "You've got to be born not of the mother's womb, but you've got to be born through water and the Spirit, because the Spirit gives birth to spirit." That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, look, it's not religious rules. It's not anything else that matters. It's the Spirit that brings life. It's the words that I speak and the Spirit that brings life. You need to feed on what I say. You need to believe in me, and then the Spirit will bring you life. And that's an exciting place to be. Because that's what we all hunger and thirst after, isn't it? Something that's purposeful, something that's exciting. And Jesus' words can bring us that life. So we've got a choice when we come to difficult things, difficult situations, difficult teachings of Jesus. Sometimes we won't get it all. I'm sure the disciples didn't get everything that he was saying in this passage. But when it came down to it, Jesus said to them, "Do you want to leave too?" Everyone else is leaving. You kind of get the impression in this passage that pretty much everyone else was leaving except maybe the 12 and a few more. He said, do you want to leave too? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know you are the Holy One of God. These were the guys that had been with him, the closest, that had lived alongside him, that knew, got to know him better than the rest. He said, we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, I don't believe that Peter understood everything. He didn't get particularly all that teaching about feeding on the bread and eating the flesh and what actually it all meant in terms of the fact that Jesus was going to die a sacrificial death, that actually he was dying for the taking the sins of people upon himself. He was going to be raised up. He was going to go back to heaven. I'm not sure Peter got all that. He didn't. But the thing is, we don't necessarily need to understand everything to believe and know. One of the things that we're doing in we're doing the Alpha course, and Alex was with us on Thursday. He was speaking about the Bible, how and why we should read our Bible. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff in the Bible, and, you know, there's a lot of it which is good and we can understand and we can grasp, but there's a whole lot of other stuff in here which we find really hard to understand. We find really hard to apply. And you can take it at different levels. You know, you can take it as it's written, or you can delve deep and down into it. And when I was preparing for this is quite a hard passage to preach on. When I was preparing for this, I read a number of commentaries and things, and it goes down into all sorts of depth, and it analyses each word, and you can take it at that level, or you can just take it as it comes to you. It's one of the phrases was that you can paddle in it, a baby can paddle in it, or an elephant can drown in it. It's different levels you can take it at. But what Peter is saying here is that we believe and know. He didn't have to understand everything to believe and know. And in fact, if we did understand everything, then that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Because we'd then understand God. And God is like this big, and we're like a little speck. So it's not surprising that we don't get it all. So the challenge for us then is our response. What is our response going to be? Is it one to leave and run away, just like many of the disciples? Or is it going to be a response like Peter, to say, yeah, what else is the Lord? You are the most important. I want to commit to you. What else can I do? Because I believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Holy One of God. It's about that personal relationship. And Jesus wants that personal relationship with you, with each one of you. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to read his word. He wants you to begin to grasp it. He wants you to dwell on it. Feed on him. Feed on his word. Hear what he has to say. He has the words of eternal life. And there's probably one last thing just to try and grasp and deal with here. Again, it's quite difficult because Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, I know, in verse 64, for Jesus didn't know from the beginning which of them did not believe and even who would betray him. It says, Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12, in verse 70? Yet one of you is a devil. He means Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Jesus knew that people were going to let him down. Worse than that, that someone was going to betray him. Not just let him down like Peter did, but actually betray him. And yet he didn't get blown off course by his mission. He knew his purpose and he had to fulfill it. He knew there were people were going to run away. He knew that people weren't going to believe. He knew that one of them was actually going to betray him. But he didn't get blown off course. And sometimes, as we're Christians, we share together, we'll build relationships with people. We'll share our lives with people. We want to be an open and inclusive church. We want to come alongside people. But sometimes, there are going to be folk that let you down in the Christian life. There's going to be folk that don't do what you want them to do. Is that going to be hard? Yes, it is. I guess it was hard for Jesus. You'll find it like a bitter blow when people that you've invested in, people that you've shared with, turn away from you, or betray you, or let you down, or go off into something else. Be hard to cope with. But Jesus has been there before us, and he didn't let it blow him off course. He knew his purpose. He knew there was a bigger purpose and a bigger thing that he had to fulfill. And I believe that's the same for each one of us, that God's got a calling on our lives, got a calling on each one of you, something to fulfill his purpose. Don't let other folk let you down. They will let you down, but don't let them get in the way of what God's purpose is for your life, because Jesus has the words of eternal life. We believe and know that he is the Holy God. So that's my challenge for you today. Perhaps a difficult passage. We can do two things with it. We can run away from it, or we can hold on to what we know and believe and try and understand more and go with Jesus. We need to share the gospel, share our faith with other people. But it's not us that brings them to faith, it's God who enables. And we're going to get let down by people at different times, in different ways. But don't let that blow you off course of your faith, because Jesus is more important than that, and he has the words of eternal life, and we can trust fully in him. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your teaching. We thank you that over the past few weeks, you've been teaching us that you are the bread of life, that you are what is important to feed us and save us and sustain us. Thank you, Lord, that there is no one else that can do that. Lord, when we find things tough to understand or tough to implement in our lives, Lord, just help us. Come by your Spirit and take your word and help it to dwell inside us, that we might wrestle and understand it and hold on to the truths that you make available to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to get blown off course as others don't welcome the message that we've heard and received, as others betray us and let us down. Lord, I thank you that you are a faithful God, full of grace and truth, who will bring us through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to hold on to you at all times. Amen. Amen. Amen.